Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How are you doing, John?
I'm doing great. It's a lovely fall-like day here in Florida. Only about 80 degrees.
It's been pouring rain here for 2 days. So it's been kind of
gross. That's because you're on the coast.
Yeah, and there's some system sitting off the coast that just keeps spiraling in like heavy rains.
Nice.
Yeah, it's been great. At least it's not a hurricane.
That's right.
I mean, it might as well be with my luck. But, you know, whatever.
Right.
So what's been going on in sunny old Florida? Anything major? Anything fun?
You can now open carry in the grocery store. That's
Sweet.
Kind of exciting.
Did you see somebody open carrying? Yeah.
I have not, but I've seen a lot of people posting. It's like, well, got to find a new grocery store.
Which grocery store have they seen them in?
Publix. Well, nobody's seen them yet.
Oh.
But Publix made a point of stating publicly that they would not, that they would allow open carry in the store because now it's the law. Like, any business can say, you can't bring that in here. You're just assholes.
Yeah.
And they are.
And yeah, I mean, they've been big contributors to the Republicans for quite a long time. That doesn't mm-hmm. surprise me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen anybody open carry here. We've been an open carry state for quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we did see, like, towards the beginning of that, you know, everybody had their guns in their belts, like they were big, you know, big tough people, but
mm-hmm.
I haven't really seen that recently, but maybe I'm just not looking.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
No people in frog costumes causing trouble.
No.
In the streets. No.
No, that's just Portland, right?
Yes.
I do appreciate that, though. I do appreciate them and their.
Yes, it was interesting. Oh, we had a couple of big deaths this past few days.
I know about one. I know about Diane Keaton. Star stage and screen, I guess.
The other.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Died at 79.
Yeah.
Legendary actress, former girlfriend of Woody Allen, starred in Annie Hall, Father of the Bride, First Wives Club. She was in The Godfather.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Did her last
became
movie.
Became a single mom in her 50s.
2024. So she worked right up until she died. She has 3 things in pre-production, but I suppose that'll change.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she was kind of a staple. She was all over the place.
Yeah. They say that her health unexpectedly declined very suddenly.
Yeah, shit can happen.
Yep.
Maybe she
The other one
COVID
was, I don't know. Other was a familiar face on TV and on Broadway. Renee Auberjonois, who was Odo in Deep Space Nine.
Wait.
He was on Boston Legal.
He died a while ago, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, he did. I wonder why that came up so suddenly. Never mind, he's dead.
He died in 2019.
Ah, damn New York Times. Anyway, well, we only had one big death. That's sad.
You threw me there for a second. You said his name, and I was like, wait a minute.
Well, it's like I looked up, like, celebrity deaths this week, and he was, like, the second on the list.
That's weird. And it's not like it's even his anniversary of his death because he died in December.
Right.
at 79. Wow.
Oh, apparently she had cancer.
Who? Diane Keaton?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it was one of those like super aggressive forms that like, you know, they find it and they're like, yeah, there's nothing we can do for you.
Yeah, they say she lost so much weight before her death.
Probably didn't even look like we remember her.
Right.
Although I don't know if you saw the pictures. Do you see the most recent pictures of Jason Vanderbeek when he popped up at like some reunion?
Yes.
Yeah, he's fighting cancer and he looks terrible too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, his face is all hollowed out.
Yeah. Fucking cancer, man.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently Lin-Manuel Miranda is going to, or I think they said that he was going to replace him in a reunion movie, or maybe it was just the thing he was asked.
Oh. Lin-Manuel is everywhere now.
Yes.
You can do it all. Don't worry about it.
Oh, it was a live table reading of the pilot episode. And Lin-Manuel stood in and read. What was his name? What was his character? Oh, Dawson.
Yeah.
Of the Creek fame.
I never watched it, so the only thing that I know is... what's his name that played Pacey?
Mm-hmm.
That was always a joke about, like, people would always just look at him and say, shut up, Pacey. But I never knew who any of the other characters were.
No. We do know somebody who slept with him.
Jason Vanderbeek?
No, Pacey.
Oh, who?
She was an actress. She did a movie with Martin Lawrence.
Oh.
She played a sexy substitute teacher on Dawson's Creek.
And slept with him when she was there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a weird connection, but I'll take it.
It's like 3 degrees of Dawson.
That's funny.
Yeah. So I hear you just got back from the movies.
I did. I went and saw Tron Ares.
Yeah.
I had seen a review ahead of time, a non-spoiler review that said, do not go into this thinking that it is a sequel to Tron Legacy.
Okay.
Think of it as a spin-off in the same universe.
Oh.
And
okay.
That probably kept me from disliking the film. I liked this film. There's a lot of things in it that are very cool. There's a lot of things in it. There's a lot of visual effects that are outstanding. There's a lot of callbacks. This movie does do a weird thing where they want to erase Tron Legacy, but in some parts they want to say that Tron Legacy is canon. It's definitely there's definitely like a lot of things that happen in Legacy that they have retconned to not happen. And the idea being that, in Tron Legacy, Cillian Murphy played, a character with the last name Dillinger. And Dillinger in the original Tron was the guy that was Master Control. And this, I believe it was supposed to be like, the guy that Cillian Murphy played was supposed to either be his son or his grandson. Trying to find, where's Cillian Murphy in this list? So Cillian Murphy played Edward Dillinger in Legacy, which was supposed to be a relative of Master Control in the original Tron. In this version of Tron, Dillinger Systems is an adversarial company to ENCOM instead of working alongside ENCOM. And Evan Peters, who he was Quicksilver in some of the X-Men movies, he played Quicksilver, the Quicksilver replacement in WandaVision. He plays Julian Dillinger, who is the original Dillinger's grandson. And he's in charge of Dillinger Systems. And, you know, that they're both racing to find code. I mean, I don't know how much you want me to spoil in this.
I'm not going to see it till it's on streaming. So,
okay. So
if I don't hear it from you, I'll hear it from somebody.
So so Dillinger Systems and ENCOM are both working towards the same goal of being able to bring things from the digital world into the real world. However, there's a 29-minute lifespan for whatever they bring into the real world. After 29 minutes, it deresolutions and whatever it is, whether it's Ares or equipment, it all like just disintegrates. So they're looking for a way to make that longer. And in doing so, what you find out is that like Tron Legacy takes place within the server that's, in Sam Flynn's arcade's basement, in Kevin Flynn's basement. Sam goes in and finds the server and is sent in there. And basically, I guess this movie postulates that any computer system has a grid in it where programs kind of take human form and they do whatever the computer asks them to do. So they can isolate the system. So like in the trailer, if you watch the Tron Ares trailer, there's a bright sunny version of the grid, and that is ENCOM's main server. And when you see Ares and his grid, that's the Dillinger server. And so they postulate like all of this stuff's going on in the two different servers, and one server attacks the other at a certain point. And so they can twist it. So this is not, while this is the grid and this is what you've come to expect with identity disks and fighting with them and light cycles and all that, it's per computer almost. So it's explained way better in the movie, but, I felt like, as long as you're not expecting this to be a Tron sequel, then as a standalone movie, it's decent.
Okay.
You know, it's got its problems, but like most movies do these days, you know, because they're given a release date before they ever start shooting. They have to work towards that release date and shit falls away. And, you know, they write themselves in the corners and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But like my main concern going into this was Jared Leto. I was like, mm-hmm. I don't like him as an actor, but I will deal with him in this because I like the Tron movies. And he was not bad. Like he didn't do any over the top Jared Leto stuff. He kind of, it felt like the director had him under control as to what he wanted to see from this character. It felt way more natural to me than a lot of his other performances. And even like, if you go back and you watch, if you watch the trailers and you listen to his deliveries on some of those lines, it's very Jared Leto. And in the movie, it's much more natural. It's much more like the director did his job and was able to get a performance that felt natural to the universe and not, hey, Jared Leto's in the movie. So it was interesting. It's still Jared Leto. He still has long hair, which they don't really explain. Like, he's a computer program. Why does he have like super long hair? But whatever.
Right.
But it's decent enough for what it was. It's not going to win any awards. It's really pretty. The Industrial Light and Magic, I think, was the main effects house that worked on this. And it's very pretty. It really is. It's the stuff when there's several times they're in the grid. There's several times when they're out in the world. The live shots of the recognizer flying through the city, that entire battle towards the end of the film is just, it's beautiful. It's so well integrated and composited. You know, it's just sometimes the story lacks. Sometimes the story gets it in its own way, really. And there's justification for Jeff Bridges being back.
Okay.
It's not necessarily.
And who is he playing?
Jeff Bridges, Kevin Flynn.
So it is Flynn. It's not a version of him or anything.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
But there's a reason. There's a justifiable reason why he is in where he pops up in, which is a very cool part of the film. So like they thought about some of this stuff for sure. They just didn't they just weren't like, you know, even though Kevin Flynn seemingly dies in Tron Legacy, that may not necessarily be the server that you're seeing in this movie. And there's kind of like, there's definitely a reason why he pops up, but it's pretty good. So okay. I would probably rate this, probably like 7 out of 10.
Okay.
I think is probably a fair rating for it. I think it definitely has its issues. They set it up for a sequel again, like they did with Legacy. Yeah. I don't know because of the box office whether we will see another Tron, but like Disney did that last time. Disney knee jerked on the box office when Legacy came out, but we did end up getting another Tron. So I don't know. It's definitely set up though, right, for the further adventures of Ares. And if watching the ending is any indication, the next movie would be a sequel to Tron Legacy.
Okay.
And not so much, you know, a standalone kind of like side movie. I kind of feel like it's the Disney version of Deadpool and Wolverine. Like, that's not necessarily a sequel to Deadpool 2. It's more right, like a movie that had Deadpool in it. And they talked about like, yeah, this isn't like an actual sequel to Deadpool 2. And I kind of feel that's the same way with this. This is not a Tron Legacy sequel. This is within the universe and a different set of characters that are telling a story.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It is what it is.
Okay.
And I will say, for all the hype that they gave the Nine Inch Nails soundtrack, I still think the Daft Punk one is better.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. It the Daft Punk one felt more Tron to me. I think Nine Inch Nails is too industrial sounding for what they were trying to do in this movie. So,
but it's 2 thumbs up, 4 stars.
Seven out of 10. I'd give it, you know, I always judge movies by how rewatchable I think it is. Mm-hmm. And this definitely has some action scenes in it that I'd go back and watch again and again. There's enough cool things in it, even if the story kind of falls apart at times. I do think that, like, in future viewings, it'll be rewatchable. So,
okay.
You know. So, yeah.
Well, cool. I have a movie suggestion for the Halloween month.
Okay.
This is a very old Disney movie, 1983.
Oh, I think I know what you're going to say. Go ahead.
Called Something Wicked This Way Comes.
Mm-hmm.
Starring Jonathan Pryce,
mm-hmm.
who was Elizabeth Spahn's father, the governor in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Broadway, a lot of character acting work. Starred Cleopatra. Pam Grier,
yeah.
who did all those blaxploitation action movies.
Yep.
Jason Robards. And it's a very, I mean, it is very much dated. The special effects are not amazing, but it's a very creepy kind of story. It's like these two little boys stumble across a mysterious carnival that pops up one night.
Yeah.
And they find out more than they really need to know. And it puts their lives in danger and the father's life in danger. Very interesting premise. Like, in the beginning, you meet their school teacher, who's kind of an old, school marm kind of thing.
Yeah.
Played by the woman who played Alf of Ralph and Alf from Green Acres.
Okay.
But she regrets losing her looks and growing old, and by attending the carnival, she receives the gift of her youth back.
Okay.
And then she goes blind.
Oh.
And there's a bunch of stories like that of townspeople who end up getting their fantasy, but not in the way they wanted to.
Right.
The boys end up going up against Mr. Dark to try to save the town and the one boy's father. And he has a carousel that if you ride it backwards, you go back in time.
Oh.
It also means that he could send you so far back in time that you're just a baby again.
Okay.
I mean, very cool stuff. Pretty watchable. It's like an hour and a half.
And it's they just put it on Disney Plus, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's got, you know, old school special effects, and it used to be on like the old Disney Channel all the time.
Okay.
but I guess it hasn't really been seen since 2021 or so when it came out on Blu-ray.
Oh.
But if you're looking for something kind of creepy and spooky.
Yeah, I remember watching it as a kid, and I know I haven't seen it since I was probably 10 or 11 or whatever. I don't even know if this was something that like I saw in the theater, maybe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I saw it was on there, I was like, I saw it pop up last time I was on Disney Plus, and I was like, oh, I got to remember to watch that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very cool. Old school special effects. I would recommend it.
All right.
I would recommend it. And it features one of the original Munchkins from The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Jerry Marin, who is one of the Lollipop Guild, plays a uncredited demon midget.
And we know how much you like little people.
I do like little people. They intrigue me. I got to the point in the reruns of Boston Legal where Denny's dating the midget.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
That's funny.
We got some new TV this week.
Did you watch the season finale of Peacemaker?
I did.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure what I watched.
James Gunn has come out and said that there is no season 3, which really makes me kind of struggle with the ending of season 2. So after 8 weeks of a lot of discussion from a lot of people on the internet, it turns out that the incident that happened on the party boat was a Nelson concert where Peacemaker kissed Harcourt and Harcourt ran away. As opposed to a lot of the shit that people thought was going to be what happened on the boat. And then it seemed like all of the stuff that they were doing to build up was like, they kept going back and forth between Flag sending teams through doors and finding all kinds of fucked up worlds.
Right.
Like, I really thought they were going to do a Wizard of Oz world. That first one that they walk through, and there's like the windmill in the back. The
giant mushrooms.
And the giant mushrooms and all that. I was like, these are going to be munchkins that pop out, isn't it? And they were like little monsters, so yeah, whatever. And them... Argus working with Lex Luthor to find a habitable world that didn't have anybody on it. And there was this what's going on. And it turns out that Argus and the United States government are going to send all the metahumans and all of the aliens that they can find through this door. The door is going to appear at different places at different times so that they can't predict where the door is going to be. And they're just going to leave them to rot on this planet. And meanwhile, Peacemaker is working with his friends to start like a detective agency or something. I'm not really sure what the agency was going to do other than like help people. But they had talked to Vigilante about using all the drug money that was in his basement to like fund this thing. And if, like, you get this shot where they're all walking through the office and Peacemaker is finally happy. And it's come to resolve that like he's got his friends and he's good enough. And then he gets attacked by Argus, thrown through the door, and the door disappears. And now he's left on this planet by himself. And that's the end of Peacemaker. And I was like, mm-hmm. what the fuck? I was like, I don't understand what just happened. So it was really, really a weird way to end a 2-season arc of a character. So I don't know. But like, you know, the funny thing is that like they went back on the boat cruise and it's the band that plays the opening song that like mm-hmm. they were all dancing
Foxy
to
Shazam.
And stuff. Foxy Shazam.
Yep.
And, you know, I was like, oh, okay. If there's no season 3, then this is like a cool way. Like you found out where the song comes from. He's with his friends. It's all great. And then they leave you in this weird cliffhanger. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. What was your kind of take on the whole thing?
I kind of liked that they started wrapping things up.
Yeah.
But then, like you said, like the ending of it was like, oh, yeah, like totally unexpected.
Yeah.
But does this mean that we're going to start seeing in other DC properties that people are being sent to, what is it called? Salvation?
Salvation, yeah.
Yeah.
The one thing that James Gunn did mention after the episode premiered, because he wanted people to sit with it for a little while, was that Salvation will be seen again in the Lanterns TV show that's coming up.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if by the time Lanterns happens, you get a bunch of metahumans and stuff, and he and Peacemaker is one of them that have been thrown into this world. Mm-hmm. And like the Lanterns rescue them, or if, you know, Guy Gardner is one of them because he's in this universe. So I'm not really sure what they're going to do as far as that. They kept saying that this was going to lead into Superman, the second Superman film. But that's right. Supposed to involve Superman and Lex working together.
Hmm.
So I'm not really sure what they're going to do with this. I mean, like I said last week, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he knows what he's doing, because he's been able to hit a bunch of home runs so far.
Right.
So hopefully.
Yeah. Just a matter of when we're going to get that.
Well, Lanterns is supposed to be relatively soon, I think. Let me see. Lanterns TV series is supposed to air in 2026. So,
okay.
Hopefully it's within, you know, the first couple of months. And Nathan Fillion is part of the cast, so. Along with a guy playing Jon Stewart and Alan Scott and a bunch of other like actual Lanterns. So,
okay.
I guess maybe they'll save it to the summer and then it'll be a year until then. Well, wait, when does Supergirl come out? Doesn't Supergirl come out before? Supergirl? 2026. Yeah, so Supergirl's coming out in 2026. I would assume... So June 26th. So I would assume Lanterns is probably before then? And then Clayface comes out in 2026 also. And that's all supposed to be connected, so I don't know.
Do we think Clayface is going to be as dark as the Batman?
James Gunn said it was a straight up horror film.
Interesting. So, okay.
And they wanted to make something that happened in the Batman universe that was horror. There's also the Brave and the Bold that's supposed to happen at some point within the next couple of years. And then Man of Tomorrow, which is the second Superman film.
Okay.
And I think they have a release date for Man of Tomorrow. 2027. So they're moving relatively quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I just want, like, good stories. I don't want them to rush and do the Marvel thing.
Right. Don't keep slamming them out. Make them worth...
Make them good.
Worth the wait.
What else did you watch this week?
We had Only Murders.
I haven't seen the new one.
Oh, okay.
So
very, very interesting twist.
Okay.
We'll have to discuss it next week.
Okay. Or the next time we talk, because we're coming up on a couple of weeks. Did we figure that out?
Yeah.
That where we won't have a show.
Yeah.
Lots of things going on. Don't worry about it. We'll be back eventually. I mean, we can discuss it in person when I see you, but
okay.
For the show, it'll be
a
couple weeks.
I don't think we talked about Marvel Zombies, did we?
I don't think we did.
I don't think we did either. Did you watch it?
Yes. I liked it. It's a bigger swing for Marvel into a realm of horror type animation than I think anybody's used to.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed the way the four episodes kind of fit together. You get versions of characters that you've never seen before. Like Moon Knight Blade, where he has taken over because I don't remember the dude's name, the character's name, Moon Knight. But apparently he dies in the zombie horde, and so Blade takes over as like Moon Blade or Moon Knight Blade or whatever they were calling him.
Right, as the avatar of Kronos?
Khonshu?
Khonshu,
something like that.
Something like that.
And it was funny. The creators of Marvel Zombies said that they didn't realize that they'd be bringing the next version of Blade to people first.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, we thought there'd be a movie out before now, and that's who was going to end up being. Like, oh, okay, Blade is from this. No, so they didn't change anything because everything kind of was in already in production. But it was interesting. And I guess what's her name? Elizabeth Olsen said at a convention, she was like, I don't remember recording, that's how long ago it was. And she said that she remembers recording in her house. She doesn't remember what she recorded, and she like did it. She did it on like gear she had at home and then sent it to them. So it had to be during the pandemic. So this has been at least 5 years in the making.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think they did some really cool stuff. I think the first one was very Walking Dead.
Yeah.
It was only four episodes, but it was, I mean, I really liked it.
Yeah, it's definitely different. It definitely, like, when they do stuff like that, and I really feel like animation for comic book stuff is just way better, just because they're not held back by visual effects. They can do whatever the hell that they want. There's that, I think it's the first episode where they find Captain Marvel fighting the dude from the Eternals. And they're like, oh yeah, this has been going on for 5 years and like nobody can stop them. Like, it's such a great way to bring in all of these characters and just deal with like just a core set that's going through this, but there's so many other characters that they're finding along the way. Like, I would never have called that Zemo was in it.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I guess they were all sitting around there like, all right, who's available? Who wants to do this? Mm-hmm. I even found that Awkwafina was not as annoying as she normally is in these types of things.
Probably because you didn't watch her mugging the whole time.
Well, yeah, but I mean, she's been animated characters before.
Yeah.
That's kind of hard to watch. Like, who was she? Scuttle? Was she Scuttle in the...
Yes, in the live-action Little Mermaid.
Yeah, like, oh, that's Awkwafina. Like, you know, that's definitely like you're hiring her because she's Awkwafina.
Right.
But in this, she was a little bit more subdued and I think it worked better. And I don't know if that's direction. I don't know if she just was like, I'm recording this at my house, so I don't give a fuck. But I don't know. Definitely, she definitely works better in that sense than she did in other things that I've seen her in. Mm-hmm. Did you see any of the news from New York Comic Con this week?
Not really. Anything exciting happen?
Well, they showed a Daredevil Born Again season 2 trailer.
Okay.
They showed off his new suit. He now has a black suit with like red DD on his chest. It shows, apparently it's not released, but apparently it shows the Defenders regrouping. So Jessica Jones and Iron Fist and Luke Cage. Is it Luke Cage? Who's the guy in Mortal Kombat? Is that, no, that's Johnny Cage. Okay. Luke Cage. So it shows them all together. Punisher's in it. A whole bunch of cool, I guess a bunch of cool visuals, although they didn't release it to the public. We got a Starfleet Academy trailer that's premiering in January of this year. And it turns out, I guess, Stephen Colbert is in it. He has a role in Star Trek Starfleet Academy. It very much seems, from what I saw in the trailer, to be almost like a Star Trek for teenagers. There seems to be a love story, like a CW version almost of Star Trek.
So
I'm not really sure what to make of it. I'm going to hold my judgment until I see, like an actual episode. But like it focuses, I guess, more on the Starfleet Academy students. So I don't know how much you're going to see like Tig Notaro, Mary Wiseman, the doctor from Voyager. Like, there was a couple of, like, you see them all in the trailer, but I don't know how much they're actually going to be in it as opposed to these new faces of Star Trek. Right. And I don't know if that's purposely, they're just trying to get, they're trying to get a different audience than like the old white guys that have been watching Star Trek since the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've tried it in the past. Like Voyager was a little bit different with a female captain. Discovery was different. You know, Strange New World was kind of like going back to the original formula. But this seems like it's very much like we're going to try something that's completely different now. And we're going to do a Starfleet Academy where there's like a Klingon cadet and there's a holographic cadet. Like,
okay.
They're really kind of like pushing for, a new kind of Star Trek, I feel. And this is all within the Discovery universe. So it's like way in the future.
Right.
As opposed to just kind of in the future with like Star Trek. There better be some kind of like Robert Picardo as the doctor from Voyager better be like, oh yeah, well I've aged myself up so that, you know, to reflect how much time has passed or something.
Right.
Because he's just a hologram.
That's right. Never ages.
Yeah. So yeah, there was a couple things. They premiered a scene from the next season of Star Trek Strange New Worlds. So I'm assuming that we're not going to wait very long for the next season of that.
Okay.
I
just want to see the puppets.
Yeah. Well, the, Anson Mount had posted something on his Instagram where he talked about he had just gotten to Toronto to film season 5. So they're way ahead, and I'm assuming that like the puppet one is in the can and ready to go.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, you know, it was like 2 or 3. Was it 2 years or 3 years between season 1 and 2 of Star Trek Strange New Worlds? But they're saying season 4 will be mid next year. So like maybe summer of next year, we'll be talking about Star Trek again.
Wow.
And then 2027 is supposed to be the 5th and final season, which is like 4 or 5 episodes. And then whatever they do from there. So, I don't know. I'm trying to see if there's anything else. I mean, there was a whole bunch of stuff of, you know, this is not like regular Comic-Con where it's all like the biggest news. It's like,
right.
They released that Megan Fox is going to be a voice actor in the next Five Nights at Freddy's movie.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it was like, meh, all right, whatever. I mean, New York Comic-Con is just not on the level of Dragon Con or regular right. Comic Con, so.
And I heard there was some kind of tease that Sigourney Weaver may be back as Ripley.
So they had asked her in an interview if she would ever be open to reprising Ripley in any kind of way, whether it be animated or whatever. And she had said that like she had gotten to a point where she was just like, just let her rest. Like, we don't need to do anything. And apparently she went and had a meeting with the guy that like runs the Alien Predator franchise at Fox. And this dude had like 40 pages of an idea that she said would make her come back to Ripley.
Really?
Yeah, she said up until then she hadn't seen anything that would be like, oh yeah, I'd consider doing that again. And now she's like, yeah, maybe. So, okay. I don't know. I mean, technically, there's a clone of Ripley that's still running around.
Right.
At the end of Alien 4, whatever that was. I don't remember what the tagline
was. I lost track.
But, I mean, technically, she'd age at the right pace to do whatever, you know. And that was a couple of hundred years after, like, she dies in Alien 3. They make that clone. So it'd be far enough out of whatever they're doing now with the Alien franchise to, you know, not interrupt their plans.
Right.
You know, when Neil Blomkamp did, he had a treatment for Alien 5 where it was going to be, they were going to forget Alien 3 and 4 happened, and then it was going to be her and Michael Biehn, and I think they were going to try to get the girl that played Newt in Aliens to all reprise their roles, and it was going to be Aliens on Earth. And then Ridley Scott put a stop to that because he was going to make Prometheus, and Prometheus was a terrible fucking film, and they should have just let Neil Blomkamp do it. And then they decided on doing Alien Earth as a TV show, and we got the 8 episodes from Fox or FX or whatever it was on. So she would have been back for that, but Ridley Scott wouldn't allow it. We got a parable instead about how the engineers sent a perfect being, which the people of Earth then crucified and killed. And in his version of this, Jesus was an alien. And I was just like, okay, sure. I mean, that's probably no sillier than the Bible, but you know, whatever.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. Oh, another thing that James Gunn had talked about after the finale of Peacemaker was that there was at one time a discussion with Ryan Reynolds for Deadpool to pop up at some point.
Right.
Into a DC project. And there was some discussions, and then they hit such hurdles with Marvel that they were like, yeah, forget it. But we could have gotten a Deadpool cameo out of a Peacemaker project.
Right.
So I told you we've been watching Abbott Elementary, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we finally got to the episode with the crossover with It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Did you ever go and watch the Always Sunny episode?
No.
That is their side of the story?
Yeah.
You should, because it's really good. I don't know if you've ever watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
A little bit.
Okay, so it's done in their tone, and there are things that are said in this by Abbott Elementary cast that you're like, holy shit, like they really went there. So I think it's on Disney Plus. If you look up It's Always Sunny, I think it's their latest season, and it's like, let me see. Come on, Disney. It's Always Sunny. It's season 17. It's the first one that pops up. The gang fucks up Abbott Elementary. It's done really well.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
I won't give away like their side of it, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, I never really got into it that much. Yeah. I watched like some random episodes.
Yeah, I was told by a friend when they found out I was watching Abbott, he was like, listen, when you get to the point when they do It's Always Sunny, when that crew shows up, you need to go seek out the other episode. And so we watched one after the other. So we watched the Abbott Elementary one, and then we watched the Always Sunny, and it's really funny.
Oh, okay. I'll have to track it down.
Yeah. Do you watch anything else this week?
Remember that show Prop Culture?
Yeah.
It was reborn as, what was it called? Something Relics? Cinema Relics?
Yeah, on YouTube.
On YouTube?
Yeah.
Apparently Disney has pulled the plug on it again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
Doesn't really say. Dan Lanigan, the guy who does it, was just published something about a week ago and said that it's like, apparently Disney just wants this to be buried as deep as possible. So I don't know if maybe he was showing all of this footage from the old show, but didn't have a lot of permission.
Huh. Okay.
Just kind of really weird that they would. I mean, I don't know what the views are. Well, actually, the views aren't that great.
I mean, looking at his the channel Cinema Relics on YouTube, they're still putting out videos. They did an Indiana Jones one a day ago. But most of them only have 4,000 views, 5,000 views at the most.
Yeah.
The Nightmare Before Christmas one is 31,000. I mean, it's not like there's a whole lot of people watching this.
Right.
I mean, I told you.
He posted like a...
Go ahead.
He posted kind of like a highlight reel saying it's like, you know, even though we're going away again, I feel really proud of what we had done.
Okay. But if they're, so I guess my question is if Cinema Relics is his personal prop collection, which a lot of it is, is him bringing in the Blade Runner blaster or things that he's bought. How could Disney stop that?
Showing their IP without proper whatever.
They'd have to go after anybody making prop replicas then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't really come out and say what happened.
Okay. Yeah, so the last... Well, before the one yesterday, the last couple of episodes say Prop Culture on them. And there's one that says saying goodbye to Disney's Prop Culture, the highlight reel. So I don't know. I just don't know how Disney would be able to stop stuff like they don't own Back to the Future or the Blues Brothers or anything like that. So I don't know how they would be able to like shut something down that they're not associated with. I mean, I will say they bug me on Cinema Relics with the way that they handle some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're just movie props and stuff, but like, there's some importance to it on some level of like,
sure,
especially to nerds and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. when they did the Ghostbuster PKE meter and they took it apart, I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Because it's the only one in existence from the original movies. And it's like, I don't care if the guy that's handling it was a prop maker. Don't fucking take it apart. Mm-hmm. And I've seen them do that with other things too. When they did the Mr. Fusion, they were like playing with it. And it was like, God damn, man. You can see it's cracked. There's a big crack along the side. Stop fucking handling it.
Right?
And I don't know. That shit just bugs me.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, again, they're his props. The PKE meter wasn't. That was on loan and they fucking took it apart. But like a lot of the stuff is his. He bought it. Like, fine, whatever. But I don't know. I don't know if Disney has just been like, anything on the Disney side of it you can't do or whatever, but yeah, that's weird. I mean, and Cinema Relics only has 58,000 subscribers. It's not like it's a very big channel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure they see like, you know, the views that like Adam Savage gets when he like it does his own prop collection, and they're like, oh, we can do that. We can get a guy in there that built props for a living and do this. And they're just not hitting that same audience.
Right.
Because the main guy, what's his name? The guy with the hat?
Dan Lanigan.
He's been on Adam Savage's channel for like the Blade Runner stuff. And those get huge numbers. So like, you know, he puts up his own video 2 weeks ago and it's only got 1,000 views. It must be a little frustrating.
Very weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe that this little show on YouTube of all places is somehow cutting into Disney's profits. I mean, when you see the shit that all these influencers post,
you know,
there's one woman who sits next to the piano on Main Street and live streams the guy almost every day.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of sickos out there. I have this idea for a horror movie now.
Okay.
Influencer Island.
Okay.
And they're all like versions of these people who are out there competing against each other, and like one by one they get killed off. And
nice. Can we really kill them?
Sure.
Can it be a documentary?
Yeah. Today we're hunting Adam the Woo in the wild. Yeah.
Up on the chopping block, Grim Life Collective.
But yeah, that kind of came to me. Yeah. There's a Reddit group called Theme Park Swindlers.
Oh, really?
Which is all the Disney influencers who beg for money and, you know, post their wish lists from Amazon, and, you know, people like buy them food when they're in the parks and stuff.
Yeah.
It's really weird. There's like this one girl who was in college program for a year. And I guess she was like guest services. And for some reason she got fired and now she's suing and she's got a GoFundMe. It's like, honey, right now you're violating your NDA when you were hired. So good luck. Yeah. Crazy people out there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you even work with one.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
she did a,
even in within those companies, there are people that are trying to do that shit.
Oh yeah. What one that we know posted, one of the popcorn buckets from Halloween. I don't know if he was like given it by someone or if he bought it. And he's like, should I open it or should I sell it? Like, dude, you should know better.
Oh, Jesus.
But, you know, we have bigger problems.
Yeah. This is quite the subreddit.
Anything else? Isn't it?
I mean, just scrolling down here, it's... I can't believe how many people are trying to make money off of this shit.
Oh, yeah. And, like, stupidly saying things like, you know, like, streaming themselves, buying merchandise with their annual pass discount, and then selling it. It's like, you know you can be... Like, they can take your pass away.
Yeah.
And they don't have to refund it.
Yeah.
And they can trespass you, so you're never allowed back.
Which happened to Adam the Woo.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Jesus.
Because lazy people. Like, you know, get a real fucking job.
Well, everybody has a gimmick.
Wish I could find mine.
Apparently there is an entire subreddit called Adam the Woo Criticism.
Oh, nice.
Good God. So, yeah. Fun times.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You got anything else?
Let's get a job, kids.
Yeah.
No.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and YouTube, and we will be gone for a couple of weeks, so look for the next episode. But until then, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Because maybe I'm the angel of fucking death.